Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be joined by best-selling author and EWTN host Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. We'll be talking about her memoir, The Kiss of Jesus, in which she reveals how her Catholic faith helped her carry the many crosses she endured in life, including abuse, being held captive by her fiancé, and the struggle of being a single mother. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. When I was reading Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle's memoir, The Kiss of Jesus, I was reminded of the old truism, be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a battle. Though Donna Marie's life may have seemed pretty good on the surface, it turns out she has fought numerous battles, ranging from being held hostage by a fiancé she discovered was a drug dealer, to being a single mother trying to make ends meet and raise her children. And how did the best-selling author and EWTN host carry all these crosses and remain a person of hope? She relied on her Catholic faith and the friendship she developed with Blessed Mother Teresa. To tell us more about her life and her book, The Kiss of Jesus, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. Hey, Donna Marie, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony.
Now, let me say that this book, The Kiss of Jesus, was a real eye-opener for me because I've seen you online and you're on EWTN and you're a person of such hope and optimism and faith. But I really had no idea all the trials and tribulations you went through until I read this book. And it seems like those trials could have broken some people, and yet you are not broken in that sense. You remain that person of hope and faith. What do you attribute that to? Why did you lay bare your soul by writing this book?
Wow. Well, that's a big question, actually. Actually, a few questions. First of all, don't feel alone that you didn't know all of the backstory, because I didn't tell anybody, really. Only like a handful of people had known for most of my life. And so to answer your question about why did I want to bare my soul like this, well, that was a big thing for me to do, because all throughout my writings, I wanted to be so careful to give all glory to God and not to draw the attention to myself, so much so that I would, not even say probably things I should, share more about, because I wanted to be careful. I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted to give glory to God. But then I realized I needed to share anecdotes along the way. And then in some of my mothering books, I would share different experiences and things, but never disclosing those really dark corners and those really dark valleys and real big struggles and pain, because I didn't see a real need for that until, I started sharing a little bit, like letting people know I had been a single mother years prior, and but just ever so lightly it would come up. And then one day, I put this in the preface of the book, I realized how much sharing could help someone else. It could actually give them a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sharing with this single mother who wanted to talk to me privately after a speaking engagement. She actually gave me a ride to another place. She was a reporter, and I knew I could trust, driving with her for 2 hours. She was a delightful woman. But she wanted to just, talk and tell me about her plight, being a single mom of her son. And right then and there, I decided, well, I'm going to tell her that I was also a single mom, and I had 5 children, and God gave me so much grace to get through and to see the joy and the beautiful vocation of motherhood, but to have his help through the tough times, even when it was really hard. And she immediately felt so hopeful when she heard that, and she said, if you can do it, I can do it too. So she really helped me, without knowing it, to realize in a deeper way that, it's important to share our struggles with others and to let them know, we experience this type of thing as well, and God can really help you too, so it really helps them. And that's the main reason that I, the whole reason I'm sharing this story of my life, is to help others, to hopefully and prayerfully bring a dose of hope to others, and hopefully also courage and strength and inspiration. You know, so I've been hearing from people already that the book actually impacted their life. And one woman said, "I don't feel so alone anymore." And, you know, I give all glory to God for that. I'm so thankful that he could use, you know, my story to help others.
Yeah. Well, what was evident in the book to me is that your mom and your grandmother especially planted seeds of faith in your life, Donna Marie. So tell me, how did they do that in a way that really made it stick? Because a lot of families, you know, they may teach their children about the faith, but for some reason, years later, the kids kind of go off the reservation. What was it about the way they did it that made it stick with you?
Well, I can tell you how they taught it and modeled it to me, but I also think that it is really the grace of God that helped it to stay in my heart, or maybe those really tough times drew it out of me. But my mom and my grandmother, they didn't clobber me over the head and force anything on me. They very naturally taught me the reason for praying, and my grandmother would, you know, the beads would glide through her fingers, or she would see rosary beads around her little humble apartment. You saw these tangible parts of our faith, you know, the sacramentals, and I knew that she was praying. And I saw it in the light of her eyes, you know, the sparkle in her eyes and the love in her heart. And so that always stayed with me, with my mother and my grandmother and some other relatives, too. And growing up in the nuns, I was able to go to Catholic school for like a year and a half before we moved to another town where I couldn't go to Catholic school. So the sisters really made an impact on my heart, too, just being around them and just feeling that holiness, really. So that was early on in life, and that just stayed with me, so that later on when things were really tough, I mean, I prayed all throughout my life. And growing up, but later on when it was really crazy and terrible things happened to me, I was able to, I imagine it must be the grace of God, I was able to just always retreat to prayer, to always turn to prayer, to always just beg God to help me, to beg Jesus to stop whatever was happening and to come and rescue me.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle about her book, The Kiss of Jesus, How Mother Teresa and the Saints Helped Me to Discover the Beauty of the Cross. Well, let's talk about one of those hard times, because when you were a young woman, you started dating and you got engaged to a guy who in the book you call Matthew, that's not his real name, and you discovered after some time that he wasn't the man you thought he was. Tell us about that time in your life, and how did God help get you through?
Okay, that was a very traumatic time in my life. It was really hard to even write it and, you know, to express it, because it was so traumatic, because I was held against my will, which, you know, I'll explain in a minute. He was someone I was engaged to. He was a Vietnam veteran, an ex-Marine, but this was a guy who carried a Bible with him. Every day he had this little Bible, he'd carry it with him. He was one of the leaders in this religious, you know, this prayer community. It was a Catholic community. He was one of the leaders, and he was very stable, I thought, as a teenager, you know, late in my late teens, a stable, good guy, you know, trustworthy, and we were engaged. But then something happened where he snapped. He had a nervous breakdown. So I had really no warning, and he had a lot of guns. He pulled these guns out of the closet, and he even had a machine gun.
Wow.
And so he let me know that he would murder my family and me if I didn't stay loyal to him.
Sure.
Had to live this hellish, crazy life being held captive.
Mm-hmm.
This apartment with this guy, and I don't mean for a few days, I mean for like a year.
Yeah.
It was horrible, 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 and just like one of my worst nightmares. But I just prayed and always tried to plot my escape, always thinking of what I could do to get away. And so it was a horrible time, and you said, how did God help me? Like one time while I was there, he came lunging at me and thrust his head into my lap. I was sitting on a chair, and he forced a gun into my hand, a pistol, and he tried to get me to pull the trigger, to kill him.
Wow.
So unbalanced. Sometimes he was, you know, wanting to murder me or my family, and mm-hmm. this time he wanted to die himself, and he wanted me to do it. And I, with all of my might, I pushed against his, which would have been impossible for me, against this big guy, you know, who, you know, I don't even know how to explain it, to just, like, push him off of me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't trying to push him off of me. I was just trying to push his hand away from pushing my finger on the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was doing that, tears were pouring down my face. I was so terrorized. I just said, Jesus, 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 help me, please. And Jesus did help me, because he got up immediately off my lap, threw the gun against the wall, it fell to the floor. He ran out of the room screaming all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
Came right back, picked up the gun and put it in his pocket. And I had to just sit there and not make one sound, one move, one blink, one breath. It was unbelievable. And then just try to stay clear of him until I can figure out what to do next.
Sure, sure. Well, a lot of times when we read about women in abusive situations in the newspaper, a common question can be, well, why didn't she just leave or call the police for help? But I'm imagining that your perspective in that is a little bit different, because you understand why escaping from that kind of situation is not so easy. What is the reason you think a lot of women just stay put and deal with it? Is it really, are they being controlled by fear like you were?
Well, in my situation, it wasn't a matter of, you know, some sort of abuse and get away and get the police. He had shown me how he was going to get rid of, you know, murder my family.
Yeah.
And yes, a lot of fear involved. And for other women in that situation, in an abusive situation, I'm sure that they're, you know, wrapped with fear, but also there's that cycle of abuse that happens in some relationships, in some of the abusive relationships,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, after the woman is hurt in some way or threatened in some way, bullied or, you know, even physically hurt, sometimes the guy would come with, you know, the next day he'll be bringing her flowers, or he'll be apologizing, or he will say that it really wasn't as bad as she thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, let's talk about it. I love you so much, you know, and that is a cycle of abuse, and it goes round and round, unfortunately, when there's some sort of hurt, and then there's an apology or some kind of, you know, gift,
mm-hmm.
and it goes back into the control and the tension building up again, and then it goes round and round. So these women are caught up in this cycle of abuse, so they're afraid to call for help, or they're either afraid what might happen to them, what might happen to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really want to leave this person that they feel, you know, psychologically and emotionally attached to? You know, there's a lot to it. It's not a simple answer.
Yeah, yeah,
some
sure.
of these women, the poor women, are trapped in the fear and control, and they need someone. They need, you know, they need help to get out of that. They need a safe place to go. They need someone they can trust that can tell them the steps they need to take to get out of there safely,
yeah.
and to preserve their life and their sanity.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important that people share their stories, because like you said with the other woman earlier about being a single mother, just you sharing your story kind of made her feel that she wasn't alone in the world. And these women who've gone through either something similar to you or other abusive situations like we're talking about, just for them to know that they're not alone and that other women have escaped those situations, I think that alone is doing a public service of sorts.
Yes, thank you for saying that. I feel so too, that you know, could help so many women to see that, wow, if she actually went through that kind of trauma with guns and abuse and everything, and look at her now, she's out of there, she's safe, and she's now able to talk about it and to help others.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back in a minute to continue my conversation with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ-bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ-bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle about her memoir, The Kiss of Jesus, How Mother Teresa and the Saints Helped Me to Discover the Beauty of the Cross. Let's go to the title of the book. Why did you choose that title, The Kiss of Jesus, when this is really a book about suffering? Usually a kiss of Jesus makes someone think of something that's comforting, but this is really a book about overcoming suffering. So why that title?
That's an excellent question. Well, because Mother Teresa, whom I was friends with for about 10 years, and I talk about that in the book, she was a dear mentor and spiritual mother and guide to me and friend. She was guiding me along the way and praying for me during some really trying times in my life. And at the time when she was in my life, I had no idea why God was giving me that great blessing and privilege of knowing this living saint. But I now know that, you know, I am to pass on these blessings to others in every way that I can through my talks and books. So she said to me at one point, "You have come so close to Jesus on the cross that he can kiss you." Mm-hmm. And she said, "Please offer some of your sufferings for us and our people." And she would be constantly telling me about, you know, satiating the thirst of Jesus on the cross. And, you know, that was how she lived her life, to satiate his thirst for love of souls. And she lived that gospel of Matthew, "Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do to me."
Yeah.
She was such an incredible example to me, and those words were, you know, wow, they really, really hit my heart, and and maybe are indelibly etched on my heart right now, the words that she said to me that time. And so, you know, I didn't know it would be a book later on, but that's how it unfolded, I think, according to God's grace and, you know, providence, that the book would be called The Kiss of Jesus.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, we know Mother Teresa's on the road to sainthood, but you also mentioned the saints in the subtitle of your book. You have several on the cover. How did the saints who you didn't personally meet, saints who have been dead for hundreds, even thousands of years, like St. Joseph and St. Therese, because you mention all of them in the books, how did these figures impact your life?
Well, I had always wanted to learn more about the saints, and that helped me in my faith journey, you know, to learn about them and to read about them and to pray for their intercession. So they've always been guiding me along the way. They've always been my companions, and each one of them, some of them are pictured on the cover, like St. Faustina and St. Therese, St. John Paul II, whose feast is, you know, right around this time, St. Padre Pio and the Blessed Mother, and of course Mother Teresa. All of these saints were very special to me, and there were many others. You mentioned St. Joseph, who unfortunately didn't get his picture on the cover, but he's a hero to me, and he's helped me so much. So all of these saints have had something really amazing to say to my heart, and I think to the world, you know. They have, they're so amazing. And they lived, they all had difficulties and deep pain and heavy crosses in their lives, and our Lord gave them the graces to keep putting one foot in front of the other and walk in faith. So these saints have, the ones that have gone before us, you know, have really helped me quite a bit, and I believe they have interceded for me when I've asked for prayers. And the ones, you know, we have saints living in our midst too, like, for instance, Mother Teresa, I believe Father John Hardin, who was my spiritual director, and of course, St. John Paul II was in our time, and We've had all of his wonderful teaching to help nourish our faith. So the saints really can make such a difference in our lives if we just take the time to get to know them and to ask for their intercession and prayers.
Sure. And it's good to also to remind people that, you know, a lot of times we can use the word saint and we think of these whitewashed perfect figures, but they're not. And like you just said, they've all struggled with darkness, for instance, like Mother Teresa and other struggles and challenges. So it's important to remember the saints too were not these perfect people who never had anything go wrong with their lives. They are really examples of how to deal with that with God's help.
Exactly.
And you mentioned before the graces that come from the saints and everything. How have you seen in your life grace come through suffering?
Well, sometimes you don't see that right away because everything's so dark, and you just keep reaching your heart up and begging our Lord, you know, please show me the way, please help me, give me courage and strength, help me to get through today and to be a good mother, and you know, all of the things we want to ask for help. And so we don't necessarily see the graces. We don't necessarily feel the graces. I believe in the graces. I trust in God that he's giving me the graces, because how else would I have, you know, done what I've done? How else would I have gotten through each of those days? And later on, when you look back on your life, sometimes you do see those beautiful threads of grace woven through, as I saw when I was writing this book. I was amazed at some of the things that I realized later on that I didn't know at the time. For instance, a terrible thing that happened to me, and like about 30, 35 years later on that same spot, a miracle. I had witnessed a beautiful miracle in someone's heart right there at a book signing, when I was doing a book signing and speaking with someone. And as I wrote the book, I realized, wow, that was exactly where that happened. And so, you know, I think when we offer, I believe when we offer our hearts and we offer our suffering to our Lord and we ask him to redeem it, we pray that he can use it for his glory. You know, we Catholics have this thing called redemptive suffering. Yeah. You know, we believe that we can offer, you know, that old thing, offer it up. Well, it's not just, you know, some weak little saying or some funny thing, oh, offer it up, don't complain. It really has a lot of meaning behind it, that we need to offer up all of our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings and ask our Lord to use them for his glory. And I believe that he does. And I believe in those opportunities, whether they be, you know, really challenging or just even simple everyday occurrences, you know, when we offer them to him and see that opportunity as a, you know, see that event or experience or encounter as an opportunity for grace, I think that our Lord really comes in and grants us graces, and that moment becomes miraculous. It can, you know, in so many ways.
Yeah. I'm talking to Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle about her book, The Kiss of Jesus. And another one of the things that impressed me about your story is that despite all the challenges that you are facing, you often reach out to help other people. Just one instance I remember from the book is you were doing pro-life counseling and a young single mother named Bianca with no place to live. You kind of reached out to her to help her out. What has reaching out to people, in spite of your own suffering, to help other people in their suffering, what do you think that has done for your own spiritual life?
Well, I don't look at things that way. It's just natural to me to want to reach out. I explained it to a man on an airplane one time when he asked me, how did you do that? Because I was helping someone on the plane, and he said, you don't even know her. And he was really impacted by watching something, and that's why I say we are the aroma of the church. You know, we might not realize wherever we go and whatever we do, we're being watched, and people can be impacted by it or learn from it. So, and I said to that man, well, I guess God put a lot of love in my heart. I like to help people. That was a simple way to try to explain it to this little elderly man. So I just love to be able to help in any way if I can. And so I believe that when we do that, and if we can find occasion to take the time, a lot of times it means stopping what you're doing. A lot of these times people need that help right then, and we can put our own needs aside and be God's love, you know, Christ's love to that person in that moment. And wow, you know, their life can be transformed, their heart can be transformed, and ours gets transformed at the same time. It's a beautiful miracle of God that when we reach out and try to help someone, our Lord helps us too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me, in my final minute, let me ask this question, because I think reading this book for people, it's going to help a lot of people. So tell me, what are your hopes for the readers who pick up The Kiss of Jesus?
Oh, thank you for asking. My biggest hope is that the book will give them hope, that wherever they are on their journey, or if they're not yet on a journey toward heaven, that by sharing in this book and by them reading this book, that they will feel a big dose of hope, and so that they will be able to carry on, and that they will reach their heart up to our Lord and ask for His will, and that they will allow our Lord to write, W-R-I-T-E, their life, you know, to let our Lord, and that's something Pope Francis said recently, do we let our Lord write our lives? And I pray that this book can really deeply inspire the people who read it.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking with Donna Marie Cooper O'Boyle about her book, The Kiss of Jesus, How Mother Teresa and the Saints Helped Me to Discover the Beauty of the Cross. I mean, we really only touched on a few things today. There's a lot more in this book that you really should pick up. Donna dealt with so many challenges in her life, from an alcoholic husband to being a single mom to other issues. And she really shows that you can come out as a person of hope and faith on the other end, and that you can reach out to other people. Like she just said before, you can be Christ's love and you can see lives transformed in that. So I think by reading The Kiss of Jesus, it will maybe transform your life and it will teach you to be a better example of Christ's love in the world. So Donna, thanks so much for sharing your story, for your book, and your website is donnacooperoboyle.com for people who want more information about the book. Thanks so much for being on the show, Donna Marie.
Thank you very much, Tony. God bless you.
God bless you too. In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.